to Zechariah chapter 5. We're talking about the flying roll last portion. And we got down to 1, 2, 3, and 4. We got down to verse 5. And this is the ninth miracle, vision, I should say, the beginning of verse 5, the miracle of the eagle. Let's read verses 5, 6, and 7 together. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that goeth forth. And he said, Moreover, this is the resemblance to all the earth. Behold, there was lifted up a town of lead. This is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. 5 verse 5 the ephah. Of course, the ephah is a measure. And some have thought that this is indicates some fullness. I mean, the sin is filled up and God gave the judgment. And in verse 5, the angel again, the talk went forth, and Zechariah was to look and see. What did he see? Going forth in verse 6. We saw Ephraim. We saw Ephraim as well.
It's
a measure, really. It's like a big mask or something. What do you say in the footnote? Are you footnoting that one?
Because that's an E5 versus
E5. Yeah, E5 is a...
A dry measure estimated from 1/3 bushel to 1/4 bushel.
Oh, 1/3 bushel, 1/4 bushel. It's a measure. You need a measure.
Yeah. And a bushel is 8 gallons.
A third of a bushel or even a bushel, right? So that's it. So this is the ephah. It says it's slightly over a bushel. So that's a big bushel. See, a big bushel basket. I mean, what that looks like. And this is the resemblance to all the earth. That resemblance means what? Looks like something. It's all the earth. And then, well, these are visions. I don't understand all these things, but God's got them in His Word. We're looking at them and pondering them. See, then in verse number 7, what was lifted up at that point?
A talent.
What is a talent? Well, we got football of that too, I'm sure. How much is that way?
Somewhere else.
Oh, somewhere else in that way. Okay. That's a measure of weight, isn't it? Measure of weight. A talent of lead. Now, what does the talent of lead represent according to verse 7? Okay, it's a woman in the midst of the ephah. So, see, now many have said this woman in the ephah speaks of an evil situation. Women like Jezebel, for example, are out of place, ideal imager, out of place, women teaching men, and that's about this woman either. Whether that's true or not, in fact, we'll see a little bit later. And the Lord tells us in verse 8, let's read 8, 9, and 10 together. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came out 2 women, and the wind was in their wings, but they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said that to the angel that talked with me, Whither do these bear the ephah? Whither go to the lavatory? They said unto me, To build an house with the land of Shinar, that shall be established, and set there upon the long base. Question to BTBC.org, 856-261-9018, give us a call, or give us an email. So, what is the interpretation of the woman in verse 8?
Wickedness.
So apparently this is a picture of wickedness. Perhaps, as the Israelites, Haggai was a prophet before or after the exile? Before or after the exile?
After.
Post-exile, all right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Say what do you consider wickedness? Is there something about this woman and this town and lead? Why is that wicked?
Well, it's a picture of wickedness, apparently. And a lot of times, women out of place, like in Revelation, of course in the book of 1 Kings, and Jezebel, but a different sort of women. It's just a picture of wickedness that's in that measure. Is still a man?
Men isn't particularly pure. If you compare with women, there's a lot of difference. Does anybody know that these talents of lead? What is What is that? And when we say it's a murder list?
Well, Ephraim, the letters was a weight, Ephraim's town.
What's a town of wood is my question?
Oh, well, it's a amount of lead that's so many pounds of weight. That's your town. It's town like so many pounds of, well, yes, I can.
So is the middle of the basket.
And
there's
so,
a basket, kind of.
Yeah.
That seems like, isn't it?
And that lead is a woman. And she's in there, and she's wicked.
The idea of a talent is when sometimes you hear on the radio the price of gold, price of silver, price of platinum, bronze, that's what it's talking about. It's an equivalent of 20 ounce. I mean, it's not the same weight as 20 ounce, but it's like that. That's true. I don't remember the exact number, maybe some 6 ounces.
I
know, well.
She's in the basket, and it's weakness. All we know is that.
And why is she inside a basket?
Well, I don't know.
It's a missing. So they're talking about a mitzvah is a kind of dry measurement. Once it's a volume measurement. You know, if you have so much volume of wheat or barley going in this basket or some type of container, and you have the pound, which is a weight measurement based on so many pounds. So it's, we're trying to picture something here.
Picture.
Yeah. Julie says, hello everyone.
Oh, Julie, good question.
I'm glad to be watching you by the internet. Remembering you all in prayer.
Thank you, Julie. Appreciate that. Questions of BFBC.org, 856-2491, if you have any.
Generally, an
ephah
would be measuring
food, wouldn't it? Yes, I think that would be true. Food. Yeah, Ron?
An ephah, ancient Hebrew unit of land measure estimated from 1/3 bushel to 1/12 bushel, 8 gallons, or 336 L.
That's good.
That's an
ephah. All right, so what we have here, Anna, you got something?
I'm looking.
Okay. All right, so this is the vision that he had, the vision, and it's the ninth one, the ephah, and the woman, and the basket, and wickedness. And then notice in verse 9, looks at last, what else came out?
Two women.
Now I got even worse the situation.
What did they come out of?
Well, probably maybe out of the ephah. I don't know. Behold, that came out. Whether it was in the, see, the in the mouth of it was this woman, the lead by the mouth. And then the wind was in the wings, and the wings were short with the ephah between the earth and the earth. So, threw away this holy ephah and the woman.
They think you haven't
took it, haven't they? Possibly so. So this is the picture. Some have said that ephah is a fearless guy. They've been to Babylon, they learned all the wickedness, they came back to the land of Palestine, and they're still the wickedness. The guy had to judge them because of the wickedness. People have mentioned that yet, and?
This is given from Ali, it's a talent, measurement of balance, then a talent in weight, hand a sum of money in gold or silver equivalent to a talent. The Jewish talent contained 3,000 shekels in the sanctuary, e.g. Exodus 20:13, about 114 pounds.
114 pounds, huh? Yes. I understand it way better. No, I don't know that. All right, so we don't know the details, but the slug went and lifted it up. The slug must have pretty big wings to be able to pick up that whole town, eat from the basket, the women, and two more women.
I don't know how many times Stark appears in the scripture.
Anna would probably know.
I'm hearing it, you know.
So,
is kind of funny. You don't really want to use that.
Then the question is, Lieutenant, where do these bear leave? Where do they carry it? And the answer is what, in which letter? What, where are they going to take them?
The house in Shinar.
Shinar, and Shinar is where?
Babylon.
Babylon, that's right. Shinar, way over in the area of Babylon where they came.
They're coming back and building a house in Shinar.
Yeah, I don't know, they just came back. Maybe wickedness was there, and they went from here to wickedness, because they're waiting. It's a vision, that's right, just vision. And they're there to set their father on base. So, all we know is, and of course, we don't want to be against women, there's no question about that, but there's lots of times in Scripture that talks about, like the five foolish virgins, the five wise virgins, that take somewhere, somewhere. There's different pictures. That's Anna?
Five times
spoke his name. You want to give the five references?
If you insist.
Well, of course, why not?
Leviticus 11, 19.
Leviticus 11, 19.
Want
me to
read it?
No, that's right.
Just
give
me references. It would
help if we read it to give the context.
Well, you want to, go ahead.
Leviticus
7:19.
No, 11:19.
Okay, 11:19.
Well, I just want to get on that. 11:19, so we can start with 11:19. 11:19 says, and he struck the heron after her kind and the lapwing. And in fact,
is there unclean animals, right?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, Anna.
Then Deuteronomy 14:18.
Deuteronomy 14:18, all right. These are storks.
And the stork and the heron, after her kind, and the lapwing and the bat.
So these are unclean animals as well.
Psalm 104:17.
Psalm 104:17. Questions at the APBC.org, 856-2611-901, call us, send us an email.
Where the birds make their nests, as for the stork, the fir trees, and her house.
Okay.
On her house, right, I'm sorry.
Jeremiah 8:7.
Jeremiah 8:7. Is that the fourth one, Anna?
Yes.
Okay, Jeremiah 8:7.
Yea, the stork in heaven, knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle, and the crane, and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord.
Okay, so is that it, Anne? Thank you.
The one in the text.
What's the line of the text right here about the stork? All right, then we have the comments on chapter 5, and this vision number 9, before we go on to number 10. Chapter 6, Anna.
From the Bear Republic. Dear Pastor Ray, hello to everyone, and thank you for tonight's Bible study. We are listening here in California. From Joel and Laura Foster.
Joel and Laura Foster. Thank you, Joel and Laura Foster, and Julie for giving us communication. But if you want to say hello, just give us an email, any questions at bfbc.org, or 856-261-9018. Glad to hear from you. Well, let's move on into the vision. Chapter 6, the 10th, the last vision, the chariots, the four chariots. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3. Zechariah 6, 1, 2, and 3, starting at verse 1 together. And I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots, not from between two mountains. The mountains were mountains of brass. The first chariot were red horses, the second chariot black horses, the third chariot white horses, the fourth chariot grizzled and bay horses. Alright, so here's the four chariots. Again, he doesn't go specifically, later on he tells a little bit about what happens, but they came between, what, the four chariots came between what?
Two mountains.
Two mountains, alright, and what was the nature of the mountains? Yes, very strong, strong, unyielding mountains. And they had four different colors. The chariots had horses with them. They were pointy chariots. The red, black, white, grizzled and bay, alright? So the grizzled was sort of a grayish white. And bay, I guess, is, what is bay? Is it tan?
I don't know.
Can't
handle
it. Sometimes down on the bay, yeah. What is it?
Grizzled is gray.
It seems like grizzled is sort of a mixture between gray and white. I don't know, grizzled.
But we didn't have a picture.
Well, it was fun.
What does it say?
It says gray color, horn is spotted.
Okay, gray color, for sure. What does it say about the bake?
Well, it doesn't say
anything. What does it say about the bake? Someone bet on the bake. Maybe this hat cover. It says, so there's a song.
Who was singing that song?
That's right. No, that's the one, yeah. Hat cover. She's... I don't do that. Someone bet on the bait. She said, no, we're just a betting situation.
Part of
the song. I think the bait color, I think, is a tan, light tan. I'm not sure about that. As they look it up for us. She's a good looker. So these are four horses with the chariots. I think which will be four, five, and six together. Then I answered, it said to the angel across from me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered the son to me, these are the four spirits of the heavens which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. The black horses which are therein go forth unto the north country, the white go forth after them, the good will go forth toward the south country. Okay, I think 4, 5, and 6. Okay, 4, 5, okay. The start of verse 6. So, the angel asked Zechariah what? Zechariah answered the angel, what did he say?
He told him the four spirits of the
heavens. Yes, the same question we asked. What are these? Well, we don't know. They asked Zechariah, they know. But the angel answered, and the four spirits of the heavens. Now, there's...
East, north, west, and south.
That's right. South, east, and west. So that would be the four. To go forth from standing for the Lord, in other words, they call the words omniscience, omnipresence, four spirits that go forth, standing before the Lord of all the earth. So where do the black horses go in verse 6?
To the north.
All right, so the north from Palestine would be up in here, wouldn't it be? Up back in Russia, up in that area, that section, up in the north. And what about the second group of the white?
They follow
after. They go also north. And then in verse 7, did you read 7?
Yeah, no.
5, 6, or 7? No, oh, 4, 5, 6, okay. Let's read verse number 7, 8, and 9 then today. And the day went forth and sought to go that they might walk to and fro through the earth. He said, get your heads, walk to and fro through the north. So they walked to and fro through the earth. Then cried he upon me and spake unto me, saying, behold, these go forth by the north country, and fire in my spirit in the north country. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, okay, that was just settled over there. That's 6, 7, 8, and 9. Is that what we do? So the day, and where did they go?
They walked to and fro through the earth.
Well, the Anna's got some information on it.
It's reddish brown.
British
brown. It goes on a gray colored animal, specifically a horse with a gray colored body and black mane, tail, and points. Compare chestnut to owl.
So the
British
color.
It would seem that the nature of these verses that we're reading here are going to find their greatest meaning in far prophecy.
Yes, I do.
Is there anybody who has ever lined up the verses and like from the minor prophets with verses in Revelation to show their relationship?
I'm sure there must be some that have done that.
That might be interesting to see how some of the verses in Revelation compare with the verses that are in this book as well as some of the other prophets in the Old Testament.
Yes, a little bit later I think we get some of the interpretation of this particular 10th vision of the four chariots. But we go to the north country, of course, number 8, and the bay went forth through the earth. So that would be not just north or south, but through the whole area. So these are either judgments or God's using them in some way or another.
They say the spirits?
The four spirits of the heavens. These are the four spirits. They have the horses that are with them. Now, what are the chariots of the four spirits, or the four horses of the spirits? The angel said, these are the four spirits which fire in the heavens. They go forth. And the black horses, which are their ends? So apparently the chariots and the horses were there. So, verse number 8, North Country, then speak me, behold, they that go forth to the North Country have done what? In verse 8.
Quiet my spirit.
What does it mean to quiet someone's spirit? Say, so look at that.
Yes, it's good. Calm
down. It's good. Calm them down. And so, somehow or another, Zechariah is calmed down because the going into the North Country. And maybe there's terror coming from the North Country. Maybe he's afraid. Well, these are quiet now because they're going there maybe to protect Zechariah and Palestine and Jerusalem. That one?
Chariots mean something. Elijah in the chariot and someone else.
Elisha, okay. Came up from the whirlwind of the heavens.
Yeah.
And
it's a chariot.
Elijah was called the chariot of Israel, wasn't he?
Yeah.
A lot of people say he went up in a chariot, but actually thou art the chariot of Israel.
Yeah.
Elijah.
But there were horses involved
yes.
with that.
Yes.
But not horses in heaven.
They were commanded, was it where the kings of Israel came and they went to multiply their chariots?
The horses were chariots on Egypt, that's right.
And so there was maybe a sign of power or something?
Yes, not the earthly power, and with the Lord.
But then also with Elijah, the heavenly power, the Holy Spirit.
That's right. So the chariots of Israel, that's what Elijah was called, the chariot, the power of God. So, he quieted my spirit in our country. And then, did we read 9? That's 7, 8, and 9. Did we read that? The Lord said, they were there to help you. Let's read verse 10, 11, and 12 together. Take of them of the captivity, even of Haldai and Tobiah, of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come now the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, come take silver and gold and make crowns and set them upon the head of Joshua the son of Jehozadak the high priest and speak unto him saying thus speaketh the Lord of hosts saying behold a man whose name is the branch he shall grow up out of this place and he will build the temple of the Lord. Right in verse number 10 take them of the captivity. What captivity is he talking about here? Questions of beauty. Did you see that all? 8 by 6? Is it from 9 or 1 8? What captivity?
Babylonian
captivity. I'm sure that's your reading. They were in Babylon, the captivity. How many years were they there?
7 years.
Who was it that was there?
Cream of the crop.
Judah and Benjamin were 2 tribes. Why were they there?
Sin.
Because of their sins. They're out and so on. And there's the take of the captivity, those that came from the captivity. These 3 men, what are the names? Well, actually, 2 men, actually. Jediah and Jediah, come from Babylon, and the same day, into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. So,
the
high priest is someone else, that's in Joshua, the son of Josiah, the high priest. In verse 12. So they're to go to the house of Josiah, these people that have come.
You think?
Yes, what?
The son of Zephaniah and
the
Zephaniah and the
book about it. I don't know, there's lots of Zephaniah. I'm not really sure it could be son of Zephaniah. Haggai Zach went to, probably is a different Jewish, or genealogy. In verse number 11, what are they supposed to take when they go into the house?
They go to make crowns.
All right, so they're going to make crowns. What is a crown used for? What is the significance of a crown?
The rulers. To show.
To be rulers?
The rulers.
To royalty? Is that usually good or usually bad?
Good.
What was given to the athletes in Paul's day for running races and winning?
Crown
of glory. Crown of glory. It was a wreath. Was it expensive wreath?
It's
made out of laurels. It was inexpensive, but was the bound high or low?
It was high.
It was high because it was hard to get. You know, the victors had to win the crowns. How many crowns are there mentioned for the Christians that are walking with the Lord in the New Testament? Five crowns. What is the number here for the 5 crowns?
R-G-I-R-L.
R is the crown of G is the crown of glory. I is incredible glory. The other I?
Rejoicing.
Rejoicing and the
life.
L, the crown of life. So I, great, I go. To try to live out your life. So the crows, bias are incorruptible. That's right. So crows, and what are we supposed to do with these crowds if we're so on it? The high priest. Were the crowns mentioned in the book of Revelation?
Yeah.
Who gets them?
Everybody.
What happens to them once they let them? They cast the crowns at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we're not all self-centered people, but we cast them to the Lord. So this is the high priest. Now, did the high priest on earth, the Jewish high priest, have a headdress or a crown of some kind? He had a mitre and he had something on his head, did he not?
That was called a
mitre. Well, I'm not sure if the mitre is on the head, but is the mitre down the head?
It's
mitre. Was it? What was on the head of the high priest? The one step in it. And also to answer, what is the quality of brown box number one and brown box number two? Is it coming in clear? Is that it then?
Yes.
And the idea of some reading on that?
We had one report from Thursday or from Tuesday that there was a problem with the transmission signal of the number two.
Problem on last Thursday?
Last Tuesday.
Yeah. Signal for number two. So see all the signals coming. Maybe one or two of them could give us a report. Questions of BFTBC.org, give us a call, 856-261-918. My wife thinks I already found it bad, so we don't want to wake you up. Okay. So, they put the crowns upon the head of the high priest. Let's read verse 12, 13, and 14. Can we read 12, didn't we? Read 12. Speaking of him saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's he going to do?
He shall go up out of his birth, and he shall build the temple of
the Lord. So
this
word called the branch is another name, isn't it, for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many, many names in Scripture, but the branch of the Lord, and I remember we told you last, we mentioned last time, there's what they call the Branch Davidian, which is a cult. Branch Davidian. Was that? That's what I said. I mentioned it before. And that was a terrible cult that was that the one that gave them the poison? He got this from the scripture. His name was David, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So he said he was David Koresh. Yes.
Why do you have to talk about every single person who twisted the scripture out before you and spend all time talking about them and not about scripture?
Well, we want to point out the fact that some did twist the scripture. And
we already knew that.
Well, we covered that. I wanted to be sure we remind you of that. I remember verse number 12.
We did it last week, Pastor.
Yes, we had the branch last week, but here's another branch. Every time the branch comes up, we'll talk about the branch.
Okay.
Good branches and bad branches. Good branches and bad branches, absolutely.
Okay,
my
branch manager.
Hey, Ralph, what's up?
Hey, Pastor, did someone tell you what the mitre was?
No, tell us.
Oh, that's that hat that goes on the priest.
Oh, is it your hat? Okay, good. That is that hat.
We just had a hat a
good. Where's that? Well,
that's Exodus 26,
somewhere. Well, there's 36. Good. Appreciate that. Minder on the head. Thank you.
I have a branch
Dominion down here. Yep. So the Lord Jesus is called the branch. And in the book of Romans, there is a picture of a tree in which the chapter 10 and chapter 11. What is that tree and what are the branches there?
I lost track of what that is.
No, the book of Romans, chapter 10, chapter 11. All right. The trunk of the tree and the natural branches are who?
The Jews.
The Jews. Those are grafted in country, who knows? That's how saved people grafted in, and so we're like branches in that sense, aren't we? So the root is the branch, Lord Jesus Himself, the Father of His Anna.
Hello, Pastor Wade and everyone. I'm enjoying the interesting Bible study. It is so exciting to study the words of God. Certainly, you make them come alive. Thanks be to God. Thanks for the smiles and joy of studying with you. Keeping you in prayer, Anne Marie Noyle.
Anne Marie, thank you, Anne Marie, for coming.
Yeah, she's one. Now I have something from the fourth State of the Union.
I don't know who that is.
Exodus 28:36-38. Alright, yes. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and engrave upon it like the engraving of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the fourth part of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron will bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord.
Good. Thank you, Dr. Williams. It's Pat Williams, that's good. That's Tammy. That's from Georgia.
It's an olive tree.
Pardon me?
It's an olive tree. You were talking about the tree.
Oh, yes.
Romans 11.
The olive tree. Thank you.
And
so,
some of the branches be broken off, and
then
being a wild olive tree will graft in among them, and with them
Cartesius of the root
and fatness of the olive tree.
Good. So that's the olive tree. Okay, stop right here at this week. If you have any other comments before we close tonight, verse number 12, pick that up. We'll go next week.
One more comment.
Well, actually, one more comment, so we've got closed up. Oh,
hey,
that's
close.
Good. Yeah, that's right. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, I do.
The olive tree is a very durable tree. It has a long life, and so it's a tree that can be established for a long time.
Jerusalem's rich. We can look out of our motel room and see the one star straight up. we can see, we look over here, we can see Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives is higher, about 90 feet higher than Jerusalem. So you look down and see the city, you see the Mount of Olives, it's interesting. So it's east of Jerusalem.
What side of the Jordan River is it? Is it east or west of Jerusalem?
East of the Jordan River. So you get to Jerusalem, and over here, east of the Jordan River, it's right there.
Is it on the other side of the Jordan?
Yeah, east of Jordan, right here.
Jordan?
That's where the Mount of Olives
is. So when you look in there, when you look down to Jerusalem, look across the
Jordan River, and right down there, so you can see the
Kidron Valley.
Kidron Valley, right in there. Mm-hmm.
Is that where the two and a half tribes were?
Pardon me?
That's where the other two and a half tribes
were. Who was it? Two and a half tribes were down in Judah, not even down in this area.
It's
the
Mount of Olives, though. That's where the two and a half tribes were.
I'll just study it.
Yes, the two and a half
tribes. Over here, this side, but yeah.
Would they have the other
side
of the Jordan? Oh, you mean the two and a half tribes on the other side of the Jordan, yes. Thank you for coming.